Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Andrew Foster in the studio with us. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
How are you?
Doing well.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, we've been kind of anxiously anticipating the Supreme Court case, the Wayfair versus South Dakota, regarding sales and use tax and how states can ultimately collect these taxes from the businesses themselves. Obviously going to affect a lot of online retailers when that decision comes out.
Is that expected this week? I mean, there's been a lot of decisions coming out.
Just one of those. It's any time now, any day now. So obviously we're anticipating that one. And then lo and behold, we get a tax decision from the North Carolina Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
And so that actually came out last Friday, and it actually deals with trust taxation. And if you're a real avid listener, you may remember that we talked about a case that was making its way through there way back in 2016, ironically enough, that was at the Court of Appeals at that time, and how North Carolina taxes trusts. So, let's find out what the Supreme Court said. But before we get there, I want to go over just kind of the general principles of trust taxation. A lot of it, trust taxation and estate taxation on the income tax side of things is very, very similar. So basically, Ben, when you set up a trust and it has different beneficiaries, let's just say.
Let's back up for a second. I mean, if you just inherit cash from somebody, it just flat out from a will, you're not paying taxes on it.
Not paying taxes on it, no. Not paying taxes. But let's say that a trust is set up, and let's just say we'll give it that as a good example, Ben. Instead of you inherit it, a trust inherits the cash. And then the trust goes and invests that cash into various resources. And the next thing you know, the trust is generating income.
Okay. There you go. Now you have a different story.
And if the trust holds that income and does not distribute it out to the beneficiaries, that trust is then taxed on that income that it holds.
Oh, it could distribute it and it wouldn't be taxable?
That's right. Oh. On the other hand, should the trust pass out, distribute the income, make through distributions, then it passes out the income to the beneficiaries, and they actually claim that income on their personal tax return. So the trust does a tax return and shows its various ins and outs, and then says, oh, but by the way, we didn't hold any of the income here. We actually passed it out to Ben.
Right.
And then Ben is going to report this on his tax return. He gets what's called a K-1, which if you have a partnership or you have other investments, you're used to seeing a K-1. And then you report that income on your tax return.
And pay taxes on it.
And you pay taxes on it on your individual return.
Right. Okay, so this is only the income that's generated by a trust, not the principal.
That's exactly right. Okay. So it'd be what the income was. And if you generate more than $600 in income for a given year, the trust is going to end up having to file a tax return, and someone's going to have to pay the piper, whether it be the trust or whether it be the beneficiary who actually receives distributions from the trust.
Okay, let me ask a question there. So if you distribute more than $600 to a beneficiary from that trust, and you're the trustee, then you're going to file a tax form, but you also issue a 1099?
It's a K-1.
A K-1.
Yeah, so a K-1.
Same idea.
Okay. Yeah, and all that does is show the taxing authorities, trust took in money, but passed that money out, and that's why we're not paying the tax at the trust level. The beneficiaries are the ones that are going to pay the taxes, so look to them to be able to collect on the
but
tax.
But if the trust
revenue.
Keeps that money, then it pays taxes on it.
You got it.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And that kind of leads us into what our case is about today, because that's the general principles of trust taxation, but the question ultimately becomes, Ben, when can states tax various trusts? So there's different ways that states set up the taxation of trusts, and one kind of general principle is if the trust generates income from sources within the state, then that's a very clear mechanism for taxing that trust, okay? But then there's other ways that they, attach these strings to say, okay, well, if you have this For example, if a trust is created by a will of a resident,
mm-hmm.
that's a way to tax a trust,
mm-hmm.
to say this particular state's going to tax that trust. If you have a trust with a resident trustee, that's one way that states choose to tax trust and say, listen, you got to file a particular state tax return regarding this trust.
Again, back to those parameters on the income generated.
You got it.
Okay.
So another way, which is the way North Carolina does it, is a trust with a resident beneficiary
mm-hmm.
pays taxes. And that leads us directly to our case today, which went through the court system
mm-hmm.
And was filed. It actually went to the business court first, and the business court says, nope, we don't like North Carolina's rule regarding taxing the beneficiary. If a trust has a resident North Carolina beneficiary and has to pay taxes in North Carolina, we don't believe that's constitutional. We're not going to go with that. And the Court of Appeals said the exact same thing, which is basically just because you have a beneficiary that happens to live in North Carolina, we're not going to allow you to just tax the trust itself.
Tax the trust.
You got
now
it.
The beneficiary could be taxed.
Exactly.
Right.
So here's the scenario that we've got, and this is the facts that actually are in the case today. We had a New York trust
mm-hmm.
governed by the state laws of New York. The person that initially set the trust up, New York resident.
Mm-hmm.
The trustee, New York resident.
Beneficiary, North Carolina resident.
Beneficiary ends up moving to North Carolina from New York to mm-hmm. North Carolina. And then North Carolina says, hold on, trust. Now that this beneficiary has moved into the state of North Carolina, we want your money.
Mm-hmm.
Because this trust was not passing out distributions, Ben, to the beneficiary.
It was holding it.
Mm-hmm. So the only tie to North Carolina that this trust had was the fact that someone decided, hey, look, those beaches down in North Carolina are pretty great. I think I might move down there and take it, you know, and take advantage of that.
But that beneficiary may not be receiving anything from that trust.
That's
yet,
exactly right.
Right.
They did not receive a single dollar
mm-hmm.
of trust money. But North Carolina said, hey, look, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Our tax rules say if anyone who's a beneficiary under this trust happens to be a North Carolina resident, we don't care if they get a single dime
mm-hmm.
from the trust because that trust is for their benefit. We want your tax dollars.
Yeah.
And so that is what the case is all about is that can North Carolina, you know, kind of reach its hands into a trust that really the only connection they have is because there's a beneficiary that happens to live here that's not getting a single benefit from the trust mm-hmm. as we speak. And ultimately the Supreme Court says no.
No.
We're going to stick by the Court of Appeals. We're going to stick by the business court.
Imagine that. It sounds logical.
Yeah. We're going to rule against.
No money actually ever came into the state.
You're exactly right. No
yeah.
money came into the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Again, the only tie was just simply because someone decided, who was a beneficiary of this trust, decided, I want to move to North Carolina.
Because imagine if you take that to the nth degree, you just take everybody who's on a plane who flies over North Carolina. We're going to tax them.
Tax them. That's right. So ultimately, you know, and it gets back to, you know, they relied upon obviously constitutional principles,
mm-hmm.
but really what they got down to in the opinion, Ben, is the foundation that they're separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we went through at the beginning of this about the standard principles of trust taxation. The trust is an entity in and of itself.
Right. Has its own federal ID number.
Own federal ID number. And if it holds money, it's going to pay taxes at the trust level.
Mm-hmm.
Beneficiary has a social security number.
Mm-hmm.
And if that money is passed out to that beneficiary, guess what? North Carolina can tax them if they're a North Carolina resident when that
mm-hmm.
money hits their hot little hand.
Mm-hmm.
But when the trust, with no ties in North Carolina and its separate entity status,
then can't do that. Yeah.
North Carolina cannot tax that trust simply because there's a beneficiary out there that could have gotten some money.
Let me ask you about a trust, and again, that earns income. If they passed it out to beneficiaries, can the trust be set up to pass out the income to a IRA or to a 401k that somebody wouldn't directly get the income at the time? Would that change that?
Yeah, it could be. You know, that'd be all
or 529 plan.
Yeah, it'd be you know, after tax dollars. You know, you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could do it. I'm just trying to think about what the benefit would be. You know, potentially the individual that was supposed to receive the money could then state on their return that they could take a deduction for the amount being contributed to the IRA. Might as well just give it to them and let them do it.
Okay.
I would think it'd be the same thing in that regard.
Okay.
But certainly that would be an issue. What's going to be interesting, Ben, to see about this is now that we have a Supreme Court decision, what is the legislature going to do? Are they firmly in place on this the way they want to tax this particular trust? Are they going to try to get a constitutional amendment passed to say that, you know, we can tax resident beneficiaries of trust?
Is North Carolina alone in that, in the way they do that?
So there's some other states that do it. Connecticut was one where they've upheld it. In Montana, they actually do it this exact same way. So North Carolina was, in their arguments, was pointing at, hey, look, there's other states that have allowed this and it's gone through the proper channels and the court says, yeah, okay, it's constitutional. But North Carolina and the judges that took this matter up, you know, just simply weren't willing to go there. And I think you get back to a good point, Ben, which is where would it stop? You know, at some point in time, if you don't put a little stop sign up and say, okay, we're not going to let you go that far, then, you know, what isn't taxable at that point in time?
Is it the North Carolina Constitution in play here?
Both. North Carolina and the federal Constitution are actually in play. So it'll be interesting. They could potentially try to go to the Supreme Court on this, the United States Supreme Court. Now that we have a decision from the highest court in the land, maybe they'll choose to do that, or maybe they'll end up trying to get around it another way.
And that would be the state of North Carolina bringing that action then, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, we'll follow that. We'll also take a look at South Dakota versus Wayfair. That one will be interesting when that comes up as well.
Exactly.
We'll have more, always, with Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster. Go to HartvalleyCollins.com to find out more, and you can email Andrew, afoster@HartvalleyCollins.com.
Regardless of all the news you're hearing about cable cutters, the big cable and satellite companies,